And good afternoon, Tucson. At 12:04, I'm Ray Allen, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. The Bill Buckmaster, the birthday boy, is in San Diego today. He made his way out there this morning, so we want to wish Bill a happy birthday tomorrow. Tomorrow, Dan Shearer will be filling in for Bill as he is finishing out the week. Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News. They have the roundtable and all kinds of great stuff tomorrow, so be sure to fill in to listen to that as well. Today we have a good show for you as well. But first, let me tell you about the Buckmaster Show. For more information on the Buckmaster Show, you can visit buckmastershow.com. There's a link to the live stream there, and of course, the daily podcast. You can hear today's show, an archive of any show from the years past, and just in case you missed anything, you can listen to it again at buckmastershow.com. On the show today, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Robin Dolezal. He is going to talk about Winter Haven and the Festival of Lights that happens there every year that we all love to go to, but they also have an effort to raise some money for the festival, so be sure to tune into that. And at 12:45, we're going to be talking to Erica Mitnick-White. She's with Local First Arizona to talk about Buy Local Month, perfect timing for the Christmas shopping season, so be sure to tune into those segments. And as always, we like to encourage you to call in to 790-2040 and talk with our guest at 790-2040. But we start the hour off today talking about water in Tucson. Interesting topic that came across the screen about a month ago, and was a story from the Arizona Daily Star entitled something like Santa Cruz could be full of water again. That's what it is. Santa Cruz could flow again through Tucson, and that certainly caught my eye. So we're joined in studio today by Dr. Gene McLean, who is the Associate Director of the University of Arizona Water Resources Research Center. Hi, Gene.
Hey, hi. Thank you, Ray. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem. Welcome to the broadcast. And we also have on the phone today Timothy Tamur, who is the director of Tucson Water. Timothy, are you there?
I'm here, and good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Good afternoon, Timothy. So I want to start out, you know, in early November, the Star had that article, and it was definitely interesting, and it got a lot of people talking about the possibility of having water in the Santa Cruz again. I'll start with you, Timothy. Tell me a bit about the idea for the project, and if you could quickly describe how this would work for the downtown area.
Certainly. The project that we're entitling Agua Dulce as a concept is to bring some of our community's reclaimed water into the downtown area in up to three different ways. But the primary use of the water would be to restore some flow in the Santa Cruz River through the downtown area, starting from some point near where a mountain is adjacent to the river, and flowing northward through the downtown area. This would be to accomplish two primary objectives. One would be to recharge that reclaimed water for future use and mm-hmm. bring it to a portion of the basin where we could store it in our local aquifer. And then also it would be supporting a new riparian habitat area through that portion of the downtown area.
Got it. Now, I know in reading that article in the Star and then talking about this, I know that similar ideas to this one have been tabled before. So what was it that made this different, and why did it gain more traction than all of those other ideas?
The primary factors that led the water department to revisit this idea is based in our conservation activities over the last decade plus. When we look at planning for our water resources future, and we look at some of the assumptions and trends that we were seeing as recently as 10 or 15 years ago, we were anticipating a much larger total water demand by our community. And coupled with that would be a much larger volume of wastewater effluent or reclaimed water that would be available for use. That's really changed over the last decade. In fact, today, as a community, even with the growth we've had in population, we use about the same water today as we used in 1985.
And do you think that's due in part to conservation efforts and, you know, basically campaigns to let people understand what it takes to conserve water in Tucson? What is that?
Well, it's a couple of things. It's a mindset that Tucson has embraced at least since the 70s to really be a desert community and have our landscaping and our usage of water reflect that. But also advancements in both the plumbing code and the appliances and fixtures that we are able to utilize in our homes are much more water efficient than they were previously. And that's something that is an embedded conservation that's going to pay dividends indefinitely. It's something that occurs year after year. And when you're able to live your lifestyle that you're accustomed to, but you're using less water to do so, that makes it a pretty steady approach toward managing our water.
Great, thanks. Talking to Timothy Tamur, who is the director of Tucson Water, also Dr. Gene McLean with the University of Arizona. Dr. Gene, I want to move over to you now. And obviously, this project would take a lot of work, and it would require some changes to that area of the Santa Cruz. I've heard that some plants and things that would have to be removed, basically, to allow this to happen. What is the environmental impact in that area that people would see if this happens?
Well, to get an idea of the environmental impact, all anyone would have to do is go to the lower Santa Cruz River, which is the very northern part of the Santa Cruz that currently flows northward into Pinal County.
Okay.
Because the effluent that they're proposing to bring into downtown Tucson currently flows northward in that area. And since the treatment plant upgrades occurred, I think that Pima County spent somewhere in the amount of $600 million upgrading the treatment plants. That was completed in 2013. And since that time, a vibrant riparian community has developed in that area of the Santa Cruz River. And I'm talking about north.
Yeah.
And the reason that many people don't realize it's there is just that. It's not highly visible to Tucsonans who are creating this water, who are paying for this water, and so what Tucson Water is proposing is, why don't we bring that vibrant riparian wetland that serves as a teaching tool, as an environmental upgrade, why not bring it to downtown Tucson where the people who paid for it can actually see it?
Oh, that's a great idea. Now, obviously, you already have one that exists. Is there a way to allow people to see that one as well? Or do people just have to go to it?
So it is visible. I mean, you can access it. There is public access. There are walkways and demonstration sites all along there. And when this idea was first proposed, I'm a member of what's called the Citizens Water Advisory Committee to Tucson Water, and we meet once monthly or more to discuss budgets and logistics of Tucson Water. And when this was first proposed, my central question to Director Tomior was, what's going to happen to the riparian zone that has already been created? Because it's beautiful and it's vibrant. And I have been assured that the flows that are moving north will be reduced but will not be eliminated. So what we are doing is maintaining that riparian area, but also creating a new highly visible one in downtown Tucson.
That's exciting. I mean, and a lot of people are down in the downtown area. It certainly has a vibe to it, and bringing water there could be something that would be a lot different. And it would also, I think, encourage people to be in the area outdoors more, because, you know, you have an urban core, but then you also have the desire to be outdoors in that urban core.
Absolutely. I think that's a central part of the plan. The area where this is proposed is the area that would be most impacted would probably be the west bank of the Santa Cruz River.
Got it.
Right now, we've got the streetcar going there. We've got Caterpillar headquarters. And I believe that there's also a plan to bring some of this water flow to Mission Gardens, which would be a historic, maintaining the history of Tucson. So I think that it would, in fact, bring people outdoors. I believe that, and Tim can certainly expound on this more, but there's talk of a river walk type of system with restaurants. If you can imagine, a riparian area brings birders, brings people who want to see. Well, they have to eat. And so this could really be a big boon for the downtown Tucson.
Yeah, of course. Now, Director Tamir, I would like to talk a little bit about the operating costs for the project. Do you have any idea about what this will cost, and you know, maybe timelines in a second here?
Sure. The costs of this project are relatively low because we're leveraging a lot of existing infrastructure that we already have in place. The points where water would be discharged into the Santa Cruz River, mm-hmm. which may be two, maybe three points, depending on how the project plays out and what stakeholders really drive for solutions there, is really accessing existing pipelines and the ability to move reclaimed water through the community we've already invested in. So we're really looking at minimal new construction, but it's just enough to be able to put the water into the river in a way that it's sustainable and doesn't create erosion or other issues of that nature by putting it in. And then the operating cost is really just the energy cost to move the water from the source location, which is down by Roger Road, where the southernmost regional wastewater treatment plant is located, and mm-hmm. bring it to uphill to the downtown area. And that is a much less expensive alternative for getting this water recharged than building a brand new recharge facility somewhere else in the community, where we'd have to do a construction of a whole brand new facility and likely have to lift water to a much higher elevation to get it to recharge.
Got it. And then from what I read in the article, some of the infrastructure, of course, is already there, so that makes it cheaper as well.
That's correct.
Good, good. We're talking with Dr. Gene McLean of the U of A and Director Timothy Tamir of Tucson Water. We'll take a break right now. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to throw into this discussion, you can always call in at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. I'm Ray Allen, filling in for the Vacationing Buckmaster, and we'll be back right after this.
Patrice Ross at Oracle Ford. We've got amazing deals during Oracle Ford's year-end event. When you buy before January 3rd, you'll find additional offers and savings that won't be available afterwards. Plus, select models have Ford Smart Bonus Cash worth $1,000 on top of other offers, and not including Oracle Ford's heavily discounted prices. Or if you prefer leasing, you'll find $500 bonus cash towards your already discounted lease. Find the best deal at Oracle Ford's year-end event. Ask about the models at Oracle Ford that have the extra $1,000 smart bonus cash or $500 additional leasing incentive. But hurry, because these offers are limited and available on select models in stock at Oracle Ford. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot. Call 818-FORD or visit the web at oracleford.com.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. Nah, we live in Southern Arizona, but it is the season to think about your year-end giving. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona relies on contributions from generous people like you to help animals in our community. Your tax-deductible gift makes a big difference. Support their great work and learn more about tax-deductible giving, employer matching, and vehicle donations by visiting hssaz.org. That's hssaz.org.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before? And claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers, more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and of course your calls. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, and always on my website, buckmastershow.com.
And good afternoon, Tucson. 12:22 in the afternoon. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing birthday boy, Bill Buckmaster, and he's in San Diego now. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Gene McLean from the University of Arizona and Director of Tucson Water, Timothy Tom Yore. Welcome, guys, back to the program. Want to continue where we left off a little bit. Gene, let's take a call real quick. Tom called in. So, Tom, what's your question or comment about the project we're talking about?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a curiosity about smells from reclaimed water, because I live by Silverville and Ina, and there's a new treatment plant right off of Ina in the 10. And probably about every night when they go to discharge a lot of their water into Santa Cruz, across that bridge, the odors are just unbearable. And that's a pretty new plant.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tom. Gene, can you address that for me?
So I could, and I know that Tim would like to probably jump in here too.
Okay.
But now, the Sonoran Institute, which is a nonprofit environmental agency downtown, has been monitoring the new riparian wetlands since the treatment plant upgrades in 2013.
Yeah.
And one of the things they've specifically been monitoring is the smell, because
mm-hmm.
that was historically a problem with before the treatment plant upgrade, that you would get the sulfur smell.
Yeah,
that,
and that was pretty
that
bad.
Tom is describing. Now, In the wetland itself, in the riparian area, odor has not been detectable. As far as water being released from the plant, that's not something that I know about, but maybe Tim could address?
Tim, do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, I can weigh in a bit just to make sure we're talking about the same water. There's actually two different treatment facilities that Pima County upgraded. One is the Ina Road plant, which was mentioned, and the other, and that was a process upgrade and then an expansion. And then there's their brand new facility, which is what we call a greenfield plant. They actually built a brand new facility at the Roger Road location, which had historically had another set of odor issues that we all encountered when we would be driving I-10 and you'd, yeah, and you'd reach Prince Road. So the source of the water to this location is actually from the Roger Road located plant, which is called Agua Nueva. So and we haven't had any reports of odors from the newer facility. In fact, it's been significantly upgraded from what was previously there. I'm not aware of the operation of the Ina Road facility to be able to comment on why there's the odors that you're reporting there. But as far as the water that would be coming to downtown, it is from the Agua Nueva plant, which, you know, has been really, really successfully reduced odors. And then as Dr. McLean mentioned earlier in this show, the quality of the water being produced from the plant is significantly higher. So that is something that we're very confident would,
yeah,
be not an issue in the Santa Cruz River through downtown.
Okay. Now, Gene, can you talk about addressed the quality of the water. So talk about the safety of the water, especially if it's going to be in the downtown area, people, you know, walking around it. Can people touch the water and be around it?
Yes, absolutely. Safe? So I get asked this question a lot. I have been doing my research on recycled wastewater for over 15 mm-hmm. years and have seen the improvements in technology that have come along. And I will tell people in all seriousness that I have consumed this water, and
wow,
I'm not afraid to do so.
Wow.
And yeah, that's something if you go online, you can see, you know, Bill Gates and
yeah,
other people drinking recycled wastewater. This is just to show that the technology that we have makes this water absolutely
safe.
You know, I've been asked by people, you know, should I let my children play in the wetlands,
yeah,
once it's created? Well, I don't know if I would do that. And it's not a safety issue as far as water quality, but more of a, you know, I think a lot of desert children have never been around wetlands.
Exactly.
And might not know quite how to handle that. But yeah.
Of course. I know how that would be because I grew up in the desert and don't really know about water too much. But like I said on the break, we get excited when we hear water here in Tucson. We have another call, Chuck, who called in, and we kind of addressed the cost of the project earlier, but you have a question on cost, Chuck. Quickly, what is your question?
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I missed that portion.
No, that's all right.
I just wondered how much is this going to cost the ratepayers?
Tom, go ahead and quickly address that one.
So the cost of the ratepayers would be nothing above and beyond what is currently in the budget. In fact, there's a current capital improvement line item that is for the expanded use of our reclaimed water, and this concept is actually a lower capital cost than what had been previously approved for the department to do to expand use of the reclaimed water. And on the operational side as well, it's less expensive than what was previously considered. So it's accommodated within the current rate structure as it stands today, and in fact would generate some cost savings over time to the ratepayers.
Got it. Now, Eugene and Tom, I want to kind of focus a little bit on the maybe scientific nature of this, but when people hear water, they think, in Tucson especially, oh, no, water is going to be transferred and it's going to be, you know, thrown away, it feels like. But this is a conservation effort for water, is it not?
Absolutely. And I'll let Tim address this after. I'll just say that so this is a way to ultimately continue to replenish our aquifers. The water will not flow through the Santa Cruz and then up into Pinal, all the way into Pinal County. Mm-hmm. What it does is it trickles down through the riverbed and replenishes the aquifers. And so it continues our conservation, water saving mindset that we have in Tucson. But Tim probably has more to say
quickly
on that.
Tim, we're running into the end here. Do you have anything to add to that?
I would just say I think Dr. McLean captured it really nicely. But what the real benefit is, it's recharging the aquifer in the downtown area within the city limits and within our service mm-hmm. area, which makes it be in a place where we could use it in the future if need be.
Got it.
Whereas where it currently flows, we really lose physical control over the water. This would be retaining that for the future.
Great. And Tim, quickly, in the last 30 seconds, what are the timeline that we're looking at here? You know, it needs to be approved by the city council. We know that. Do you have any idea on that?
This will take us a couple of years to get to the point where there'd be water flowing in the river. There's a number of regulatory hurdles we have to overcome, and those are very doable, but they take time. You have to permit something like this. And we also will be working very closely with Pima County and the Flood Control District because we're going to be working in a river system that needs to meet multiple benefits, one of which is flood flow. So we want to be thoughtful about it and do our homework first.
That makes sense. All right. This has been a very interesting interview, and it's exciting for me as a Tucsonan, you know, to have the possibility of experiencing water in the desert. Again, I want to thank my guests here, Gene and Tim. Gene, thank you for being on the show today, and Tim, appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much, Ray.
All right. And thanks.
Thank you very much.
No problem. All right, we're going to go to break right now. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the Winter Haven Festival of Lights and maybe what we need to do to keep it going here in Tucson. On the Buckmaster Show, back after this.
Most wonderful time of the year at Reed Park Zoo. Tucson's favorite tradition, Zoo Lights, presented by Tucson Electric Power, makes your holidays merry and bright. Enjoy Zoo Lights 6 to 8 p.m. December 7th to 23rd with twinkling lights, hot chocolate, and family at Reed Park Zoo. With thousands of lights, light shows, and of course, Santa. Visit Reed Park Zoo for tickets and more information. May your holidays be merry and bright at Zoo Lights.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before? And claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five-star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. In 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five-star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Good afternoon, Tucson. 12:36 here on the Buckmaster Show. Some Christmas music. Thank you very much for that, Ed. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of all the many things you can do over there, especially if you want to go for the holiday season, I'm sure it's decorated quite nicely over there. And all the places you can stay, and when you visit, go to southwestnewmexico.org. We've been begin the second half of the program here with Robin Dalazal, who is the chairman of the Winter Haven Festival of Lights. Robin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So Winter Haven now in its 67th year as a wonderful Tucson tradition, and just something that you have to do. It's just something live here. You got to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would be surprised if there isn't a Tucsonan who's visited the Winter Haven Festival of Lights before.
Yeah, who hasn't done it.
It's just a staple.
Got to get out there
absolutely.
And do it. But this year, Winter Haven lost its title sponsor.
Yeah.
And they contributed $40,000 to the festival.
Well,
right?
Yeah, they were actually roughly between 30 and 35 over the last years. Yeah, now we're asking for 40, obviously, just because, you know, things, prices go up. And so, yeah, that's kind of what we're asking.
The economics are as such.
Yeah, right.
So before we get into the issue of the funding
sure.
entirely, I'd like to talk a little bit about the history of Winter Haven, mm-hmm. when it started and you know, why we have it and how it just kind of kept going.
Right. So the developer of Winter Haven was C.B. Richards. And when he created Winter Haven, he wanted more of a kind of a Midwest feel. And so, you know, when he built this area, he actually put a bunch of pine trees. He bought a bunch of these trees from a going out of business nursery. And he knew that he wanted these trees to be lit. And he actually put electrical outlets at the bottom of all these trees.
Wow.
And so it began. And so these people would decorate their trees. And, you know, I don't know if it was quite the festival it was today. But
yeah, I'm sure not.
I'm sure it's a lot of fun.
But people walked through the neighborhood. Yeah. And then at what point in time did it turn into the festival? And what point in time did it turn into this thing that people wanted to go to?
It was unofficially a festival. This used to be where people would just drive through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I want to say back in the 80s,
okay,
it got to the point where there was just so much traffic that the people of Winter Haven finally put up smog testers in the trees to figure out how much smog was in
Winter Haven. Oh, my gosh.
And so that became a real issue because obviously the test came back extremely high. But the other issue was safety, right? So, you know, if there was any accidents or someone needed an ambulance at their house, there was no way that they were going to get one in or out efficiently. So, and I forget what year it was, but they finally closed the streets and officially made it, all right, these streets are closed. Yeah. Now we can actually call it a festival.
Yep.
People would walk through.
It is official.
Right.
So what do people – that's an interesting thought. I never thought about that before. But what do people do now if there's a problem or a safety issue? The police unlock
open it up
and then people can just go through?
Yeah, so all of the neighbors actually have parking passes so they can get in and out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the police are there, obviously, if there's any emergencies, of course. So it's actually not as quite as bad. And we do still have one drive-through night. And so,
there you go.
You know, our festival runs this year from the 10th through the 26th, and the 26th is our one drive-through night.
That's great.
I completely recommend that you walk this event, though. I will tell you, it is a parking lot, any of those driving nights that we've ever had.
I'm sure.
I mean, if you can't, obviously drive it, but if you can, you know, take walk a wagon,
through.
Or we have a brand new trolley this year that's beautiful.
Wow.
We've got the Arizona Party Bikes out there, or you can just walk it. So
that's
what I recommend.
Awesome. And obviously, it's developed over the years. It's changed. It's become different things. And now, but it's still fun, and it still has that Tucson vibe.
Oh, absolutely.
It's still exactly what you expect out of it. Because
it just evolves.
It.
That's all.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
It just evolves. I was talking to a neighbor the other week, and I said, it's just amazing how each year a neighbor will do something new.
Yeah.
And it just pokes everybody else saying, ooh, I got a one-up.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That competition, that spirit
right.
of competition in
yeah.
the neighborhood
and
gets
so
up.
Every year it gets better and better. It's amazing.
So it's been going on. You're about, not halfway through. You're about a quarter of the way in or a third of the way in the festival. And what have you been seeing numbers-wise? Everything good so far?
Everything's good, yeah. You know, we don't typically count. We did actually have the Community Food Bank, who benefits from the festival, count a couple years because we knew we had, you know, roughly 150,000, 200,000 people walk through this festival over this two-week period. Yeah, that's amazing. And they were able to confirm that last couple of years. We're getting the same normal traffic amounts of people. What's amazing this year is we have had fabulous weather.
Yeah, this has been awesome weather. Tonight's going to be great out there. If you want to go to Winter Haven, tonight's probably the night. It's going to be colder over the weekend, but hopefully the rain that we are expecting won't really affect us. So it has been great weather, and I'm sure that definitely adds to the
absolutely.
Attendance.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how, and I think I told you this before the break, but you know, rain just keeps all his Tucsonans huddled away inside.
Yeah, Tucsonans
don't know what to do. Handle a little bit of cold, but
it's
funny.
No. We were talking about water before we came into this segment, and I was telling our guests on the break, you know, when I see water, I just freak out because I'm a Tucsonan and you don't see water all the time. But if you have water falling on you, you also freak out because you start to melt because you're a Tucsonan.
Yeah, it's a sprinkling. We're like, we got to get inside.
Yeah,
this
we're
ridiculous.
Not used to this. Yeah. Exactly. I know, it's funny. But if you spend any time in the Northwest, you will definitely, get rained on. That's kind of how it is. We're talking to Robin Dolezal, the Tucson Winter Haven Festival of Lights chairman. Now let's talk a little bit about the title sponsor that you lost and what the efforts that you're putting forth to raise money now.
Sure. Yeah.
What exactly are you doing? I know you have a website, so they just go to the website and donate? Or how does that work?
Yeah, just winterhavenfestival.org. We've got a donate section right there at the top. So if you feel inclined to, we'd love a donation. So let me give you a little bit of history. Back roughly in 2010, basically, the city basically cut us from their funding because of the financial crisis that we had, which was to be expected. And the only thing that they really kept was the Tucson Rodeo. Yeah, so and that was a big chunk of change that we lost. The Pascua-Yaqui tribe stepped in, amazingly enough, and for the last 6 years have been helping us as a title sponsor.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, you know, they're unable to do that this year.
Yeah.
So we are looking for a title sponsor. Any companies out there that would like to be a part of this would be appreciated. I'm going to tell you, this is just such a great event. Like I said, we get 200,000 people walking through a two-week period. They're all full of cheer.
You know, right?
I mean, it's just a great opportunity for someone to get involved with us. So, yeah.
And it's good publicity if you're, if you're a company out there that wants to sponsor it.
It's a great opportunity. So we are looking, obviously, right now, you know, we're not quite halfway through the festival. So I think ideally we're going to be looking for future years for a title sponsor with the exception of this year. But this year we really do need the community's help.
This is why
we're asking for some help from just the community to donate. You know, we've got, again, our winterhavenfestival.org webpage. It's got all sorts of great information about the festival and the vendors. And, you know, if you do want to ride, you know, there's different vendors to do that with the wagons, the trolley, things like that.
So winterhavenfestival.org if you are interested in donating. Where are you guys at so far?
I want to say we're about $1,500. That's a great question. I should have looked before we came
in. Right. I think I looked last night, and I think you're right. It is about $1,500.
That's about roughly there, yeah. So anyway. But yeah, if you can, great. And most importantly, you know, this festival is the second largest initiation for the community food bank each
year. Wow. Yeah.
So that's really important. So, you know, obviously we need money, but it's just important, if not more important, for the community food bank. So please bring a canned good or monetary donation for them. They're pretty much all the entrances. We want this festival to go on, but, you know, for obvious reasons, because it's fun and the Blights are amazing. It's great family tradition, but the community food bank really needs this festival
help
to go as well.
Yeah, exactly. They benefit so much
from
it. So if you are interested in donating, winterhavenfestival.org. If you go, bring some food. That's kind of the basic thing you do. Bring a can of food or bring something for the community food bank. Non-perishable items, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Robin Dalazal, thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been It's just so fun. I mean, like I said, it's something you got to do if you're a Tucsonan. Make sure to get out there. And if you want to support it, go to winterhavenfestival.org. And if you're a company out there that wants to be the title sponsor, I'm sure they can give you
a
call.
Absolutely.
Go to the website and let you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, great. Well, thank you so much for being on the program.
Me.
Yeah, no problem. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Erica Mitnick-White about Arizona Local First, talking about shopping this Christmas season, local shopping this Christmas season. Be back on the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:45.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
All right, good afternoon, Tucson. 1251 of the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Wonderful park over there. The best place for you to buy your new poinsettia for the holiday season. Bill loves his poinsettia, and I'm sure that you will love yours. If you go to Green Things, check them out. They have 13 acres of plants and things that you can buy, and Christmas gifts, I'm sure, and all of your gardening needs and Green Things. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com. Speaking of local businesses, we are joined by Erica Mitnick-White from Southern Arizona, Director of Local First Arizona. Erica, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So it is the heart of the Christmas shopping season, and it is also the heart of Buy Local Month. So explain to me exactly what Buy Local Month is.
Well, Buy Local Month is a way to really get out there in front of folks and help them understand, you know, this holiday season, everybody's looking for that perfect gift that really shows, you know, that you care, that you're thinking about other people. It's also a great opportunity to be thinking about what are you investing in your community? Mm-hmm. Because our dollars really drive what we want our communities to look like. And so we have a really exciting opportunity at the holiday season. Nationwide, folks spend about, they're projected to spend about $650 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's extraordinary to think about what kind of impact that has when we choose to put that money with locally owned businesses.
So let's talk about economic impact. What is the economic impact of buying locally as opposed to going to a big box store?
Oh, it's huge. It's as much as four times more money actually stays here. It recirculates around. It creates more opportunities, more jobs. Some studies say for about every $100 that gets spent, about 43 stays here when you spend it with a local business.
Wow.
Only about $13 when it, you know, spend it with a chain. And when you spend that money online, that's really money mm-hmm. that's lost to the community pretty much immediately, and we lose all of those great things that come with it, like the support of our local business community. I mean, it's not too often we see a Little League team that's sponsored by Amazon.
No, so, not at all.
Yeah. We really want folks to think about, you know, how can we support what we love about Tucson and help make it great during the holiday season?
So it is the heart of the Christmas shopping season, and I have to go Christmas shopping for my friends and family and all of this stuff. And we were talking earlier about just how difficult sometimes it is when you're shopping for people because, you know, we live in a pretty wealthy society. Everyone kind of has a lot. So it's difficult for me as a person to say, you know, I got to buy so-and-so a gift, but what am I going to buy them? Because they already have so much things, you know? But you were telling me that it's not always things that you have to buy people. There's also a lot of exciting opportunities and I don't know, events that you can send people to. Explain that to me locally.
Absolutely. So on our website, we have a special Buy Local Month page. So if you go to localfirstaz.com, you'll see our Buy Local Month page. And we've got tons of Buy Local Month offers. And some of what's great to gift is really the experience of our community. So there's things on there like a membership to the Wildlife Museum or to the zoo or to the loft. These are really great gifts where you give somebody experiences that last all year long, you know, supporting things like the Tucson Symphony and the Rialto. Memberships and things like that are wonderful gifts. Also, gift cards that help people discover things. One of the programs that's new this year that we just love is the Downtown Tucson gift card. And unlike other gift cards, this one is good for 70 different businesses. So you really give the recipient the chance to kind of discover what they might love in downtown, what they might want to find out. And they can use it at multiple businesses throughout downtown. So they could stop in for happy hour at Oban, or they could go over to Johnny Gibson Market for brunch or for groceries. They can use it at all different places around downtown.
That's very cool. And then it probably encourages them to get on the, you know, the streetcar and whatnot and just have a good time down there. Now, we talked a little bit about buying experiences, but there's also buying things that are, and you talked about restaurants, but there's buying things that are consumable, like food and wine and stuff like that. Give me examples of areas where we could purchase maybe something like that for the Christmas season for a gift, you know?
Well, Tucson is the only UNESCO city of gastronomy in all of North America, so we have some amazing food to share. We're very privileged that way. Johnny Gibson Market, again, is a great resource to go downtown, pick out.
Okay.
They have a lot of local food items on the shelf where you can pick out unique things that are only made here. Food Conspiracy is another one. Beyond Bread is another great one where they do, you know, these wonderful local gift baskets. And these are things, again, that really set you apart, that show off something unique and something extraordinary about our community.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of friends, you know, now that have moved away from the community, but they still have that longing to you know, be part of Tucson. That might be the perfect gift to get somebody that lives on the East Coast that's experiencing tons of snow and cold weather right now to remind them of home, you know, something like that where I could send it off to them. I remember one year I sent off a gift of, and this was really interesting, but it was the Tucson Tamale Company. I had them freeze dry the tamales and sent them off to somebody 2,000 miles away on the other side of the United States. And it was an awesome gift because they were from here. You know, it helps them remember Tucson for their holiday.
Exactly. Those kinds of things are wonderful gifts. And those are the kinds of things that people really remember. They really stand out and they make the holiday really special. Arizona wine's another one that I really love to give. A lot of folks aren't familiar with how great many of our wineries are in Sonoyta and Wilcox. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, you know, are happy and able to do gift orders as well.
Wow. Okay, now we're talking with Erica Mitnick-White from Southern Arizona, Director of Local First Arizona. Now, I want to talk about the events that you have coming up. We don't have a whole lot of time left in the program, but you have events coming up this weekend downtown and in the area. So tell us about those.
Yeah, there's lots of great events. Again, we encourage people to go check out the website, localfirstaz.com, for the full event schedule. But this Saturday coming up, down at the Johnny Gibson Market, there'll be a free snowflake cutting workshop with a local artist who will teach people about how to do that. And it's also Parade of Lights downtown this weekend. The Downtown Tucson Partnership sponsors an amazing parade. We're having a special viewing party at the downtown Clifton Hotel. If folks want to buy tickets for that, it's a chance to see the parade from the private patio at the downtown Clifton, and there'll be snacks and drinks for folks, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Very cool. And what time is the snowflake cutting event at Johnny Gibson's?
I believe the snowflake cutting event starts at about 1, and the Parade of Lights will be starting at
6:30.
Yes.
Right? Be careful driving around down there. Lots of street closures, so make sure you get down there early if you want to enjoy the Festival of Lights downtown. And there's going to be a parade. It's always really exciting to see that.
It really is. And again, another great opportunity, if you haven't been downtown in a while, see what's happening. There's so many amazing new restaurants that have opened up. Fun places to check out
and
with the
local,
family.
And they're local, and you can buy local.
And they're local. And
just like we're trying to get you to do here with Erica Mitnick-White, thank you so much for being on the show today, and hope that people get out there and buy local for the holiday season.
Thank you so much. We hope so, too, and that everybody has a wonderful and local holiday.
All right. Thank you so much, Erica. We're going to close out the show now. Thanks to all my guests on the program today. Bill Buckmaster will be back on Monday, but tomorrow be sure to listen to Dan Shear, who will be in here. I'll be on the other side of the glass helping produce that show. And then today, Mic Check with Mike Shaw is on at 4 o'clock. And then tomorrow, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 and Talking Culture from 9 to 10. All here, AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. I'm Ray Filling in for Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day, Tucson.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.